All lines are now muted.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the ICAT Task Force meeting. We are officially in September here, getting close to the finish line. We have Alex Scott, Cheryl Turney, Anil Jain, Jim Durgis, Alexis Snyder, Gus Gerarcy, Rich Landon, Mary Green, Ram Shram, Sasha Termat, Dr. Mason said he may be a little late. And did I miss anyone?
Jeff Keegan's out here.
Oh, Jeff, Jocelyn, anyone else?
Did you meet Arian?
Oh. Hi, Arian. Sorry, I missed over you. Okay, I will turn it over to our co-chairs to get us started.
Thank you so much. This is Cheryl, and today we're going to continue working in the document and reviewing the comments and suggestions that people have made. So thank you for those folks that have gone and done that. Just do a little summary of what we accomplished last week, and then we have public comment, and then we will talk about next steps. Next slide. So last week, we went through the document. Most of the sections up to recommendations, we didn't get to the recommendations section, so that's where we're going to start today. And we're going to review the comments and questions and things that people had. We did that last week. We tried to resolve the comments that were made, those that we could resolve. We actually processed in the document. And we'll do the same thing as we're reviewing the deck today. We also did a walkthrough of the high-tech deck and then of the what we're presenting to that group and requested comments from folks offline. So and then what we did was we sent out a PDF as well as the updated link to the Google Doc so people could make comments. We didn't receive any written comments from folks on the PDF, and at this point, we'd like to close down that option because the document has changed. And so if there are future changes to the document, you still have the capability to go and put comments into the document itself. But what we're hoping to do today is actually start with the recommendation section, try to process all of those comments for that section, and then we will go back and look at some additional comments that were made on the other sections if we have time. And that's the plan. Any questions on the summary from last meeting and then what our expectations are for today? All right, I guess we're going to, put the document, share the document. And we have had a few challenges with the Adobe upgrade, so we're pivoting at the last minute. And as you may recall from last week, in order to manage this, I am looking at the document offline so that I can actually read it. And then if there's anything as we go through, I will review that with you. And then we will, review each section. So we have a number of comments. And then, Michael, just refresh my memory. Your comments that you have here with the check marks, are those already satisfied, or do we still need to review those again?
I would review them briefly. I think most of them were notes to people. I think in a lot of cases, like the one you have there, Arian has replied to it and addressed it. But I didn't go through and get rid of it last night because I wanted the group to...
Okay. I thought so, but again, when I looked at it, I forgot that that was a question I was going to ask you, and then I couldn't. So what we should do is today, and Arian's not on the call, so I don't want to...
I'm here.
Oh, you are there. Okay. Okay, I just didn't see you in the list. All right, so... Arian, this was regarding the comment that Michael made about, and it actually was the last sentence of the guiding principles, but there was a comment about state legislation, and we actually did rewrite it a little bit last week. I still think, though, it doesn't read correctly, because the beginning part of it says, in order to support the principle, the ideal state must include the following characteristics. And here we have in-state legislation and regulation variances, as well as variances between states, are addressed through automation. So I think it needs to say the word in has to be removed, because that just doesn't make sense.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is Alex, and I'm the one pitch hitting on trying to run the document that everyone is viewing on the web, and I'm a little disconnected on if you from where you're at potentially. So I'm in the recommendation section.
Go up to the prior paragraph, Alex.
Oh, this one. Thank you, Cheryl. Appreciate that. Okay, I just want to track with you, so I'm displaying right.
Right, that's the one that we left off at. And I tried to modify it in the meeting last week. I thought I fixed it. But then when I reread it last, over the last week, this sentence doesn't make sense, because we're looking for, it needs to start with, it can't start with an in, because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And by the way, the reason you can't see me is that my browser is locked up because Connect uses Flash. But I don't think I wrote that sentence. I wrote the recommendations, but I didn't write any of the preamble to the recommendations.
Okay. So I think Michael originally, you were, I don't know where that came from. So we need to rework that.
There's a suggested rewording in my comment. It's next there, at the third comment down below, where it says rewrite and refine. I did a little poking and thought about a way to state what it seemed like we were trying to say.
Yes. Harmonize federal regulation, primary, hold on, I don't know why I can't read the whole thing here. It's not showing up on my screen.
I can read it for you if you'd like.
Here we go.
Is it possible to zoom in a little bit, Alex?
Yes, but the problem is when I start to zoom in, then you lose the comments in totality. So we're going to have a balancing act for being able to show the body versus the comments. So if I zoom in to make it bigger, I'm not sure if I can slide. I might make you all a little dizzy, but I will do my best to not do that.
Yeah.
The statement, Cheryl, can you reach it? Is it more clear now?
Sorry, Alex. For folks on the phone, if you on your Adobe, there's a button above the display that says Request Control, but two buttons over from that is the Zoom In button. It's hard to read, but you can zoom in quickly.
Okay. And Alex, I can read it. It says harmonized federal regulations primarily govern PA in the ideal state, minimizing variation of requirements between states. Where variation exists, variations are available in standards-based, machine-readable, and interpretable fashion. I do believe that appropriately captures what we wanted to say. So if we could cut and paste that in and replace the wording, unless anyone on the objects. Yeah, that I think that says it, and then it's it flows. Okay, then we move on down to the next section, and here is another one, Michael, where I thought we already.
I just want to make sure that, Michael, you'll be able to make sure that if there's any note cleanup that I'm missing, please help me close that loop after the meeting so I don't try to get wrapped around that axle in the middle of editing. Sorry. Thank you, Cheryl.
Okay. And then on the next section, you might want to go up a little bit, Alex, so people can see Michael's comment. Keep going. There you go. Okay, so I thought we solved the piloting one already, but again, this comment was still here. Oh, it went away. I don't know.
I didn't do that. Somebody else be in the documenting editing at the moment.
So I was reading it, and I moved my hand, and it went away, and I don't know how to now get rid of that. Okay, here I can go back. Undo. Oh, I can't undo it.
Let's see if it will come back. Hold on a minute. I have to go scroll all the way back. I have to catch up with you, Alex, because
I'm not doing anything, Cheryl. I am in a holding pattern. My fingers are off the keyboard. Not touching nothing right now.
All right. So here we go. Okay. It just was we removed so many of these, and now when I'm looking at the document, again, it looks like some of them came back, and I don't know where how they got back here, but that's why we were reviewing them again. So even though I undid whatever my finger just did, it's not coming back. So we lost that comment. But it had to do with piloting. And I do believe we already decided how we were going to address this in the last meeting. So unless we have another question as we come up, and it was my question that caused a comment in the first place. So I'll keep it if we need to address it again.
Although I was not here last week, my understanding is that, yes, we agree pilots are something we needed, and we're going to create a recommendation related to that, correct?
No, I think...
And I believe I put language in. I believe I put language in to address that.
Thank you.
It's in a different recommendation, but it's not going to be on its own. Because we were just thinking that there might be some incentives or something that could be made available for piloting. Okay. So the next one has to do here where Arian made a comment to add where clinical interoperability has evolved to include patient access and participation as a design. And then Alexis had a comment about the previous comment on this paragraph. But I don't know if she's talking about Arian's comment or a prior comment that was made. So...
I believe she's on the call.
I am. I have no idea. I mean, if it's whatever I was commenting on is not there now. Because I wrote the same thing. It probably was talking about engaging instead of participating. I'll have to sit here and reread it and let you know if there's something that I think should be changed.
Okay. And Arian, where did you want to add where clinical interoperability has evolved?
He did. It's in red. He was answering to whatever I had commented on earlier. We can't see.
So this one.
Yeah, I think the way that I did all my edits, they're showing up as comments as opposed to. So I think somebody, whoever controls the document, needs to review them and confirm them.
Yeah, I think that what we also are aware of is that Michael was doing cleanup last night, and I'm not sure whether he clean this up and handle this issue, and he's leaving this here for us to check the box that we've done it.
Yeah, no. So I think structurally when I went in and did my edits over the two weekends ago, they all got done as comment ads, and I think the controlling editor needs to go in and either accept them or reject them, I think is the way it works.
Okay. Well, we'll go through these, and we will accept them as we go then. So I don't know who's highlighting it, but...
Michael, may I ask if you're actually editing the document while we're displaying?
I'm looking at it to try to make sure I'm following everything.
Cool beans, because it just shows up that you're in there, and I'm trying to figure out whether you're just looking around or actually doing something, because I'm not touching the screen, and I'm trying to mitigate any sort of dynamic of things disappearing unintentionally.
Okay. Okay. So I do think, because when Michael was doing it last week, as we were reviewing things, he was able to check them off and say, okay, we accepted that. So it obviously recognizes him as the editor.
Michael, I can accept exceptions. It'll let me accept the suggestions as an editor would.
Okay, so let's just accept this one, and then we'll go forward because we already looked at this wording. And the only comment Alexis made was on the patient to change the wording for the patient.
I can't believe
I know, folks, times. I know, because I just lost my internet connection. Thank you. I lost my internet connection. I'm rebooting. It's relaunching. I'm locked up in Adobe. It's coming back now.
Would you like me to hit the checkbox?
Sure, please do. That'd be great.
I did it.
Okay.
All right. When they can see it, then we'll go to the next one. The next one is also, Michael, a comment you made. And I think Arian replied to it and already made the ad.
Mm-hmm. Are we okay checking it off?
I'm okay.
Can't see it.
With it, but I just was waiting for Alex to be able to share it with everybody. But,
yeah, I was actually launching. It was all coming back, and then it just hosed and closed again and is relaunching myself or my Adobe screens for the third time. It now just came back on, and let me ask if you are Excel can enable the screen sharing to happen again. Could somebody let me know if you can actually see the screen now?
Yes, we can see the screen.
Yay! All right. One small step forward. I have not changed the location of my cursor, so I am on the next comment.
Right. So this is the one where I do believe between Michael and Arian, they've already taken care of this. It was the discussion of this particular comment, which was to the overall flow and the linkage between the guiding principles and the ideal state, because there was some comment about redundancy, and I believe that this might have already been addressed.
Does this Michael Wadey comment here, I can check box and move on about the historic separation?
Yeah.
And the next comment was from Arian. Is this the one to which you refer? And I may select that as well.
Yes. And it says, while not perfect, clinical interoperability evolution has proceeded incrementally.
Yeah. And again, structurally, all my comments are should mostly be edits.
Yeah. And it's in there.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't know if anyone else wants to make a comment about it, but if not, we're going to just accept it.
Cool.
Okay. Then the next one is down on recommendation number one, and that was just the overview. Prioritize administrative efficiency in relevant federal programs. Michael here says make sure this is aligning CMS programs, language, and recommendations to address incentives to use effective health IT, both EPA and CVS, that reduce burden and provide value to clinicians and patients. It's implied in some of this, but we need to make it more explicit. And I think Arian did actually add some wording, which talked about reducing clinician burden and improve the patient experience. And if we're good with that, then we can accept it. Some of this may be edited for non-material changes, because at the end of the day, we do want it to flow properly, but we may have to make some editorial changes as we're going. I think this one, does anyone have any objection to accepting this one?
No, looks good.
Okay, we're going to accept it.
Denise.
Oh, Denise, yes?
No, I said thanks, Denise.
Looks good.
Okay. This one was just a statement.
This is all a part of the same ones. I'm just, he tweaked this, so I'm going to accept it because that's the red that he made, and you just already mitigated those. I'm just catching up on the comments.
Okay. Then the next one is establish a government-wide common standards advancement process, and some additional wording was added that the task force recommends that the standards advancement process incorporate multiple rounds of development, testing, and production pilot use prior to adoption as national standards. And that's exactly what we were just talking about. So I think we can accept that wording if everybody agrees. Any comments on that? Okay. And then
I'm not deleting the Michael comments because I feel that those are still things that we need to address. Is that correct, Michael? About the language on exceptions, about exceptions to exceptions, and the general ask.
I believe so. They both appear elsewhere in the document, but I think, but as I recall last time, these are things that I added from comments in the last meeting.
Oh, so they've already been reconciled, so I can check mark these and get rid of them.
I don't.
If we're not sure, we'll leave them. We'll clean it up later.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay, let's leave them then. Let's go down to my comment, which is on recommendation number 3, convergence of healthcare standards. I'm asking, should we ask CMS to reduce the proof required for early adopters of technology? Would this go here or in a previous recommendation? I wasn't exactly sure where it should go.
The first is generally, do people agree? And second, where do we think we should place it?
Yeah, because in some cases, the standards have requirements that impact multiple parties. And I think Gus and Jim both, and if I'm calling you out incorrectly, I apologize, but I think they both have brought up multiple times that as long as something is an improvement, even if it doesn't help multiple parties, but significantly helps one party, and it doesn't harm anyone, why would we not put that forward? And some of the standards require multiple party are able to exhibit improvements. And so that it becomes a hindrance. So that's why I was asking here if we need to make some adjustments to the proof required.
Yeah, I don't know what process we're using for comments. I'll raise my hand because I now have access. But since I've got the since I've started speaking, I think my assumption here was that we would align with the ONC process that doesn't have the requirements for proof of improvement of all parties in order to go forward. But that's why it doesn't say anything. But if the current process on the CMS side requires onerous hoops, then I think we want to state the requirements for the going forward process.
Yeah. I think that's where I saw a disconnect. And again, I appreciate that, Arian. I think it's something that maybe we should address. I see there's a few other people with their hands raised also. Anil?
Yeah, I think Arian may have addressed this, but I guess I'm not entirely sure why. So we have had language in the guiding principles and ideal state that not every party needs to benefit, maybe even if one party benefits. But help me understand why we need to ask CMS to reduce the proof required for early adopters of technology. What are we trying to avoid there? Maybe I'm missing something.
I think somewhere when I was reviewing this, it popped out at me that the current early adopter program requires proof by multiple parties. And I think that was the reason why I was questioning it, was because of what we were saying last week, that it doesn't necessarily have to benefit multiple parties if it doesn't harm anyone. And does that mean we need to ask for a recommendation to reduce that proof burden?
I'm not entirely following, but I think when we discussed this point last time, we all, I think, changed the language in the guiding principles in ideal state to remove the requirement or supposed requirement that it benefit all parties. And so do we still need it if we go back to the guiding principles in ideal state? Is there something that's there that we could change? Because does CMS currently require proof for early adopters?
I believe that's what I had found, and that's why I was asking.
Okay.
And again, I'm not intimately familiar with the process, So that's why I'm asking, because I really wanted clarification from others that might be more familiar.
Yeah.
Jocelyn has her
okay.
hand up, so she might be more closer to this. Jocelyn, do you want to weigh in?
I think that the point that Erin made is really important. I think that frequently there have been sort of systemic improvements by one party prior to new innovation being launched, and so that you might not see sort of the proof during the evaluation period from all parties, because people have basically gotten themselves to a point. We saw this on EPA a lot, you know, a lot of back-end improvements and processing and automation happened on the payer side, but the providers didn't necessarily see all that benefit when they launched EPA, because a number of reasons that we've talked through, you know, over the last few months. But if we went to actually pilot something with EPA on the pharmacy side again, you know, there's been a lot of efficiency taken out of the payer side of the transaction. So we'd likely be looking for improvement on the provider side and the time to therapy for a patient, more so than really focusing on sort of efficiency from a payer perspective, because that's where a lot of the existing investment has already gone. I don't know if that helps clarify. I think Arian's right. I think that if we can follow ONC's lead here, that it's really about for each pilot, what are the qualitative improvements we expect to see, not that all people need to see benefit equally if that's the current CMS requirement. And
okay.
I'm not aware of the current CMS requirement.
Okay. All right. I'm happy then. I'll review this again and see if there's anything that jumps out, you know, relative to that. But it was, like I said, it was something that somewhere in reading this over multiple times, it popped out at me as a question, so I thought I should ask it.
Cheryl, this is Alex, and I guess I'm listening to this conversation and wondering if you're asking about the reduction in the proof required for early adopters from a HIPAA or a CURES perspective, because there's different answers depending upon which set of piloting standards you're talking about under the current landscape.
And I don't think it was related to HIPAA.
Okay.
But again, I'll have to go back and look at my notes to see where I got this, you know, really this point from as to why I was questioning it. And I do have at least a history of my, you know, reviews. So I'll see if I can figure out where I got this from. Okay, so let's leave it there, but we'll move on. I think there were some minor changes made. Gus made some, and then Michael made some. He talked about a footnote. We should leave that in there. When we get down to the paragraph about the intent, it's for a patient-centric model. Oh, I have to go back here. I don't know why it keeps jumping off the Adobe thing, since I don't have the little icon. So, and then there was some wording added at the end. The harmonized clinical administrative standards should take into account the differences in data and workflow needs required by clinical administrative processes. And I think that was the point we were getting to. So does anyone have any objections to accepting that wording? All right, looks like we can accept that, Alex.
The this one right here.
Yeah. No, not okay. The comments. No, the red. No, the red.
How many apps
yeah.
is that?
Okay.
And then the next one down, which is, there we go. Okay. And then the next one comes into place. Complete thought here with the sentence abruptly truncating after the word data. Trying to see what that applies to.
I think what this replies to is the preliminary work that was done by the synthesizing teams, and that there was some early commenting that would have been ported over into the master document and may not have been completely eliminated, but I suspect what we just walked through what might have resolved that incomplete thought from half a month ago.
Yeah, this is Rich. That abrupt cancer, that abrupt end after data, that's something we fixed on our call August 11th.
Okay, so I'm going to accept that and move on.
Because
this is not the last bite of the apple of proofing. Okay,
yeah.
So then this is also
Anil's comment, which is half blocked. Go up a little bit, Alex.
There he is.
That's it. So I think we can accept Anil's comment too.
I'm sorry. Before we accept my comment, what was the change that was made? I'm not following. When I made my comments, I didn't make any edits in the master document. I simply put comments off to the right. So what was changed to accept the comments?
Right. We would need, if we want to accept your wording, we would cut and paste it in. That's how we would have to do it, Anil.
I think what he's saying was he made a comment he didn't wordsmith, so we need to go back and we need to incorporate revisions. We need to tweak it.
Right. So
but Anil,
wrote,
if we
it need to be cut and pasted into the document, Alex.
Which portion of his
wrote,
comment would you like me to copy?
He didn't rewrite it in the comment.
All right. So I have the language in my... I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Sure.
I'm sorry. I thought you put suggested wording in here.
Well, no. I mean, when I highlighted the sentence that I was concerned about, and I put some comments as to why I was concerned, and so if everyone else is okay with the current verbiage on there, that's fine. But I couldn't follow what we were trying to say there. So.
Yeah. And I think what your comment was speaking to was it needs to be more clear that it needs to move back and forth in a patient-centric manner.
Right. Right. And again, I'm going back 2 weeks now when I first made the edit, so I apologize if I'm thinking out loud here, but when I read this, it says wherever data are first originated in the interoperable system, they should flow to wherever they are needed without having to be manually recaptured or re-entered. But I think we really are trying to figure out, actually, this looks like it was already edited. Was this already edited afterwards?
Yes. This is where Michael did some edits afterwards.
Okay.
Again, that's what we're trying to work through here.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know how to make sense of my comment now, that you can remove it if you like, and I'll put it in again if it still doesn't make sense later. It's hard for me to tell what was already changed, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah, we can just accept it and then I'll look at it again later. Put another comment if I need to.
Thank you.
Okay. That was a little confusing. All right, we go down to recommendation number 4. So you have another one up there.
I think these are comments from earlier, and I'm not clear, and I need Michael to chime in here on these were ported over when he created the new document from the synthesizing draft document that we were using, Cheryl. So I'm unclear what Michael would have done here.
Yeah. Michael, are you still back?
Yeah, I'm looking at, so on recommendation 4?
Yes, sir.
No, recommendation 3 is what she's talking about.
Okay, so the 4 example comment.
Actually, it's not. I'm sorry. Let me sort of figure out where I think that it's, I thought we were on this one here.
Yeah, it's recommendation 3.
4.
Is recommendation 4 a subpoint of
4, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going back to recommendation 3.
We talked about that last week. Somebody had said, does this really need to be a subpoint of 3 rather than stand on its own? And so I think Michael typed the comments in there so that when people reviewed it, they would chime in as to what we should do or not do.
Yes.
So we should leave it till we can all review it and think about it. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think that was what the intent was a while back. We probably just need to address it, I would think, at this point. Otherwise, we're never going to fix it.
Okay, so the question, and I think I was the one that started this whole thing, the converge the healthcare standards, whether we feel... I'm going to leave it as is for right now, because here's the thing. It's one thing to converge it. It's a standards. It's another thing to actually have a roadmap that lets everybody knows how things are going to proceed with harmonized standards. So since I started the rabble-rousing, I'm happy to delete this and move on. And if we get back to it in our review and think it can be moved, we can do it then. Any concerns?
No.
This is Anil. Could you just move up a little bit up and look at recommendation number 3 again? I thought there were more comments.
Happy
for some
to.
Reason, I remember.
Yeah.
You are right. There are more comments.
That's why I was getting confused, because I thought we were still on 3. I don't know where all these comments came from, because I thought we addressed a lot of them and they're back.
Heaven help me, but Michael, did I pull up the wrong version? I don't know how I would, because I think it's just one URL that we're using. So I'm not sure if something got reintroduced in the cleanup work that was done late last night, or
This is Anil. We actually didn't cover this section last week, so I don't know how we would have resolved these.
We didn't cover any of this last week. This is where we started. Today there were a couple things that we, cleared, and they're back. So I don't know whether it's Alex, because the 3 of us are in the document at the same time, but something's weird going on.
It's probably because you didn't check it off when you were done, because wouldn't you have left it and not checked it off until we all looked at it together to say, yeah, it's all set now, check it off? It's not that they're back. It's just that they're waiting for everyone to agree on before you click on the checkbox, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay. So how would you, I think, Cheryl, navigate us? Do you want us to work through these comments one by one just to check them off and decide, yep, it's a placeholder, we all need to look at it, or we need something to discuss?
I think we should look at them so we can get them either addressed or resolved, or that we need to discuss them. So,
okay. So this would be the first place. This would be the first comment that we scrolled over regarding the footnote definition example of all 3 categories. So I think that is an editing effort that needs to be undertaken. Are there any objections to defining code sets, contents, and services somehow, either as a footnote or in the document?
No.
No, I don't think so. But instead of saying we should footnote, change that to who is going to do it. I mean, just so
right.
We know it's been addressed and that somebody still has an action to take to write that footnote.
Right. This is what we thought the editor was going to do, Alex, when they come on board, was do all the footnotes and know what things to call out for footnotes.
So then you should say assign to editor.
I happen to disagree with that, because I don't know that an editor is going to understand. He's probably going to look to us to give them definitions of that, unless we get a healthcare savvy editor. So I will make a note to assign to editor, but may need to provide contextual support depending on background of editor. And then we can move on. Okay. All right. Next comment is this one. It's still in the same sections. It's just in the second paragraph. I made an initial comment. Cheryl concurred with it. although this is dated August 11th, I'm going to let you guys know this is probably more like from mid-July. So I was making a comment to consider enhancing the example to include work with HL7 and be highly specific about our ask and intended next steps, something along the lines of we expect ONC to work with HL7, X12, NCPDP on how HL-FHIR is deployed and if it is correct. There was also a support from Cheryl on this and that we needed to reference the DRLS work, which has been used as a basis for DaVinci and prior authorizations as something to consider. I made the comment, I'll take it on to fix it.
Okay.
Okay, and then hopefully that'll get us off that point. That presumes that there are not concerns with the comment. If there are, please let us know.
Hey, I raised my hand, but I'll lower it. I've been trying in all my editing not to assume that HL7 FHIR is the selected and chosen standard, although I think everyone suspects it will be. So however we write the comment, and I think it's fine for you to go and propose language in that area, and I agree with your comment. However, the comment, I've been trying to write all those things as for instances to a general policy point.
That sounds good.
Thank you. Okay. I think the next comment.
This one was one that you brought up, Alex, about capturing.
Yeah, please, I'm trying to read these, but understand, I made these comments 6 weeks ago on your initial draft, Cheryl, so I was not prepared to discuss all this today, so I'm trying to work on the fly here, and this one was about capture and reuse.
This
well,
was
that
the,
was actually mine, and Michael put you by accident when he copied it to Alexis.
Okay, thanks, Alexis.
but it's very, very old, so I'd have to reread it and see if I think we talked about something last week about the reuse, the capture once and reuse.
We did. That was on the ideal states and the guiding principles. And all these comments, just to restate, came from when we reviewed the recommendations as a separate paper. Michael incorporated
right.
all those comments and brought them into this paper. That's where they came from.
Right. So it's hard to see because nothing's highlighted as to where the comments are.
I'm
right.
So, Alexis, I think we're going to naturally pick up on this point of this capture once and reuse, which I understand there was also, you know, some discussion about last week from reading the transcript. But I'm thinking we're going to naturally, if there's an issue here, we're going to get to it through our editing exercise. So the point being is I don't think we need to call this out as an item at this point in time. Because I think when I made the comment or you made the comment 6 weeks ago, it's sort of, I think we've moved far from that point of time.
Well, I don't think it ever got addressed in the recommendations. It got addressed in the guiding principles of the ideal state. And so since it's being mentioned here again, as in the note that Michael made, it says it should look to the other section so it matches.
So we still need to clean that up.
I think so. But what I was saying, it's getting hard to follow along with the comments on the right as to where the reference is in the paper because it's not highlighting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, like if I go to here versus come back up to here, it doesn't necessarily tell you.
No. Well, can you click on,
right.
if you click on the comment, it should highlight what we're discussing.
No, right? It doesn't, unfortunately. But this particular comment is addressed in the third paragraph of the third recommendation, where it talks about that from wherever data are first originated in the interoperable system, they should flow to wherever they are needed without having to be manually recaptured or re-entered. That specifically speaks to the comment.
Right, and I think that we still have an issue with that because we've talked about it in the earlier sections in the paper that there are instances where it shouldn't be reused from where it was first originated for safety reasons because some data, like height, weight, those pieces need to be updated.
So maybe what we should say, though, is whenever appropriate, the data should be captured once and reused. Obviously, the blood pressure and the clinical state of the patient, which could change every visit, needs to be most current. So if we need to say that example, then I think we need to describe that example. But, you know, we're talking about data not about the clinical state of the patient. We're talking about data that generally remains the same unless someone reports it as different.
But right, that's what I'm getting at. So it's, you think it's obvious, but it doesn't happen.
No,
somebody has to go in and update those pieces, and that doesn't happen.
The wording, so it can speak to the clinical state versus the other data.
Right.
I don't know the appropriate words to come up with what the difference is. But
so I just want to acknowledge that Rich has put his hand up and put it down and put it back up. So I'm not sure if he's trying to weigh in on this particular topic because he might have a wordsmithing suggestion.
Yeah.
I am trying to weigh on this, but no, I don't have wordsmithing. I'm struggling a bit here because I've had conflicts the last 2 weeks and you guys have done so much work since we went through these. I went through these on the call, was it 3 or 4 weeks ago already? But in this example here, we were talking about the principle is if it's electronically captured already somewhere, you don't have to recreate it. But the language that we used, Harry and I used in that draft, really didn't get to the point that we're talking about now is that data get stale and that the data, once it's captured, should be reused if it remains applicable, like if it's the latest reading for blood pressure or if it's the blood pressure associated with the date of the examination that's providing the justification for the prior authorization. So there's a lot more going on around here than our simple statement is capture once and reuse. And we've got to go back and flesh that out a little bit to make sure there's some, you know, some sanity there and people just don't follow an oversimplified rubric, say if it's in the EHR, we should reuse it, even though it's bad to reuse it when it's stale data.
So if we said something like what you just said, if the data remains applicable, okay.
Right.
So, okay.
Did it say clinically applicable?
Yeah, I'll add that. How's that?
Good.
I don't know why it's not changing the color because anything we put in should be doing that, but it's not highlighting it for you guys, so I don't know why.
Yeah, but we can see the cursor with your name on it where you're typing.
Yeah,
okay.
It's all live. They're watching you edit. So I feel like we've addressed part of it, of the feedback, but I do not feel that we've incorporated we've not identified the method for reconciling or ensuring that there's an alignment between the GP and the recommendations. Alexis, I've heard the other part of the discussion sort of mitigate the, you shouldn't always use stuff downstream. So I just want to see if we still have that one disconnect between GP and recommendations to work out.
I think you'd have to look back at it later. I think it is there, and that's what Michael had written in during the meeting here, was saying that we had a discussion that followed the language that's in the guiding principles and ideal section related to the reuse here and updated here. So it most likely is. I would just go back up and look at it.
Okay. I'm just going to put a note that you're going to take a look at that, because I think we fixed the other part of the comments.
Okay.
If I heard that there were two main issues correctly, I may have missed a point. But
yeah, and we did, and maybe when this comment was originally captured, they weren't aware of what the cross-check that Deb had already done between the ideal state and guiding principles and recommendations, but that has been done. And if there were any, then we called them out in the comments. So we will come up, those will come up.
So the way I'm going to navigate now moving forward is that the highlighting gives us the direct linkage to the comment. So that helps pull it out slightly from on the right-hand side of my screen. So if you notice, so what I'll do is, that's the way I'm going to march forward, if that's okay. I'm thinking that's, if you want to mitigate each comment, that's the easiest way to make sure we're not skipping something.
Yeah.
So you've finished out section 3, and now this is your first, this is your next comment.
Yeah, for section 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going down to Anil's comment, which was, consider some stronger language that.
Oh, you want, so I'm sorry. Okay, we agreed to leave this first edit up here, so you want to come down to the second one. Okay.
I don't know what the first edit was for standards. Oh.
That was a comment.
Leave it there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Actually, Alex, didn't you just say that was yours and you were just going to check it off before?
That's
that it wasn't the problem anymore? The combining of 3 and 4, you were letting that go.
Whether it's a sub-bullet or not, that's the one you said you were going to take offline, Alex.
Okay.
About the roadmap. And whether or not the roadmap should be a separate recommendation or a sub-bullet of something else. We had already talked about that today.
Understood, but I believe that's a comment up above, not this one. That was my confusion. So it says leave. I will edit. I will look at it.
Yeah. I mean, when I click on standards, that's the comment that comes up, is the one about whether it should be a sub-bullet or its own recommendation.
Understood. Move on to your next comment, please.
The next one, which is the working in concert. This is what Anil's about, consider some stronger language the ONC convened the aforementioned organizations to establish. And I actually like his wording. I think we should utilize that. Instead of working in concept. So he's asking to replace those words with convene.
Any disagreement?
I don't hear any. I don't see any hands raised. So can we change that to convene?
I'm not going to spend time on that right now. I'd like to move on to the next comment to help you get through as many as you can.
The next one was, where specialized code and value sets are needed, they must be mapped to more general underlying code and value sets. And here, this was Rich and Arian weighing in. That basically says it's a kind of a circular thing. And so Arian,
I am asking for people to help me make the, because this has been an issue a couple of times. So the examples that I provided are my best attempt to clarify the language. The point here is that oftentimes we use special purpose terminology that's fit for a particular purpose, where we also require more generalized underlying terminology. So the classic example is SNOMED as our generalized technology, but we may require DRGs for payment, and so we may be looking for a procedure for EPA listed under a DRG, but but it, you know, SNOMED's the actual, SCTs is the actual underlying EHR clinical terminology.
Okay.
So that's the general point, is we have a lot of places in healthcare where we have very specific code sets that are fit for purpose, but that's not usable for clinicians who need to use a single underlying master or, you know, comprehensive code set.
Yes. And so, Rich, do you want to comment? Because I think you originally had the comment. Are you, would you be happy with the example, or do we need to recraft the wording?
I think the example is a good one. When I first read specialized code set, general underlying code sets, I think my troubling word is underlying.
Maybe just remove the word underlying and specialized code sets and generalized code sets, or
because we were talking about more specific,
more universal.
Lower order, higher order.
I don't have a great, amazing way of disambiguating this in language, so I'm more than willing to accept other folks' suggestions as long as the basic point is understood.
So, Arian, and just so I'm getting the point that you are making, because I've heard the same thing about SNOMED and LOINC codes, and again, I'm a codes expert, but often would they need to be translated? The example you used was for payment, obviously SNOMED to DRGs, but also they would need to be translated, if it was SNOMED and LOINC, into one uniform understanding of what the data is representing, because if you're sending the data from one source one way and from a different source another way, then someone needs to normalize it before it can use it. That's
exactly right. And when we're asking clinicians, as we are, to use SNOMED as their, in the EHR, to use one code set as the clinical code set, and then effectively the same department of the federal government asking clinicians to submit using a different code set, we need to make sure that we reconcile the universal clinical code set to the specific payment-based code set.
Yeah, and that we have only one map to do that with.
Yep.
The one map to rule them all?
Yeah. So we need to reword this one, Alex. Can we put in a note to reword it? At least now I understand what the point is.
Okay, so Cheryl, who am I assigning this to? Because I think that was the request earlier. Let's start to get down to concrete assignments for who's going to pick up the code. Like, for me, it makes complete sense. So I'm really struggling with weighing in here on what modifications are needed, because I think I'm too close to it. So what rewording are we looking for, and to whom are we making this assignment?
Okay, put me down, and I think I can reword it simply that it doesn't go into the loop, because now that I understand exactly what he's saying, I'll give it a whirl and then send it back out, Marion, to you and Rich, and see if you guys agree.
And I would generally recommend that we have that we get down to the point where we have a single editor, and we get down to a clean copy.
Yeah. This is a struggle because of the way we did the recommendation in a separate paper. I think once we go through this and we process all these comments, it's not going to be as hard as this first time through.
The next comments were double X's, and so I think that this is just highlighted. So I think recommendation 6 may be the next location, Cheryl. Is that where you're tracking to?
Yes. And on 6,
trying to see what it goes to. I'm not actually seeing what the how can
it
we
appears,
modify 8 or 9 to include definitions of terms that are common? So add new recommendations, standardized terminology. I don't know who this one came from.
Maybe you can shed some light on it, because I don't remember this one. Is it something from his own review, a comment, a member? I'm not sure.
I think so, because it doesn't have any initials next to it.
This is notes from, I guess, a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure what it was, though. I don't remember it.
Yeah, this would have been 2 weeks ago if it was the 18th. It was from a task force call or some effort on the 18th.
I mean, yeah, I remember we had a discussion somewhere about the, and I think this is more or less, if not the same, at least in the same gist of what we were just talking about in terms of SNOMED versus billing terminology versus a harmonization of the two, or at least translation of the two. I think that's basically what that conversation was, if I'm remembering correctly, is the idea that there's two disparate terminology sets that have to be bridged somehow, and maybe it should just be one terminology set.
Okay, so there are a couple things here. This recommendation is specifically about the licensing implications, the burden, the barrier of the costs. So it's I think somewhere along the line we've talked about, that's really data model almost, definitions of terms is what I'm hearing you talk about.
Yeah. Actually, yes.
Don't we have a recommendation related to data model? I can't scroll because then I'm going to make everybody dizzy.
The data model recommendation was recommended to be removed, and it was. So it is not a recommendation on its own. It was thought to be handled based on the way we required harmonization of data to support both clinical and administrative. So it's inherent, but it wasn't specific. And maybe that comment originally did apply to that, and that recommendation's not here anymore. Because I deleted it myself, because I was the one that was asked to review it. And when I looked at it and I looked at the comments, I said, yeah, that doesn't make sense anymore. So I deleted it.
Is this a hanging chad?
Yeah, the hanging chat. But see, I didn't know how to work that, so I didn't even realize that happened. And so, you know, sorry about that. The next one is still part of recommendation 6, which is a requirement. And then Neil suggested we change that to imposed. And I'm happy with that wording, so I think we should change it. Is everybody agree?
Yeah, it was just for readability. It's just simple words.
Yeah. So I'm changing it right now, but it's not changing. Hold on. Let me get rid of it. There we go. I just did that. So Anil's is gone. All right.
Excellent.
The next one was on recommendation 7. And again, this was my comment. We may want to be more specific to add integrating payer PA requirements into EMR workflow to reduce provider burden and ensure required data can be captured by the EMR, adopting standardized templates, data elements, and real-time standards-based electronic transactions for prior authorization and clinical attachments, incentivizing use and implementation of technology, and streamlines prior authorization process and reduces provider burden. I think the comment here was, I do believe that the recommendation is focusing on the patient-centered workflows, but I just didn't know if they were specific enough. And that was the question that I had. And it came after we had discussions on ideal state and the guiding principles. So that's where those questions came from. And also, I don't know, you know, from the perspective of, you know, who needs to adopt what from a standards perspective and then don't want to impose unrealistic requirements on any one party. But at the end of the day, if the data is exchanged and not available at the member level, then it's not usable in the clinical environment. And that's really the key.
So are there edits we need to make, or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking if we need to be more specific in this recommendation because it doesn't really say how we're looking for this to change other than to, you know, create administrative standards. And I guess that's what I'm asking. Is that clear enough to everyone else?
Yeah, I agree with Cheryl. It's almost reading more like an ideal state than it is a recommendation.
Yeah, I think it just needs to be more specific that what we're really talking about is recommending some sort of standard within every EMR system so administrative data can be integrated at the member level. That's what we're asking for.
My apologies, since I wrote this, or at least wrote part of this, I'm a little lost as to where we are right now. What's the specific objection? So there's the first paragraph, there's a first paragraph which is preamble, and maybe it should go up into the heading section. The first recommendation was related to some uncertainty that this task force had about whether EPA and other administrative workflows are part of the designated record set. And so a recommendation that we clarify that OCR, that ONC work with OCR to clarify the status of administrative workflows under HIPAA and the DRS. And then the second portion of this recommendation is the recommendation that every administrative standard that's developed is developed from the perspective of the patient as a primary actor. And I think it is a recommendation. It's not a specific recommendation of, you know, implement this thing this way. It's a recommendation that in any government-funded work that or government-coordinated work that the patient as an actor be included as a first-class citizen relative to requirements. Potentially would also be a recommendation that ONC work with CMS to make sure that any chosen, you know, standard chosen by the secretary includes the patient as a first-class actor.
So I actually saw this area, and maybe it was my interpretation, as three things. The first thing being the OCR thing, the second one being the workhorse, which is where I thought there needed to be some clarity. And I actually saw a third part, which was more, and again, maybe it's not part of this, but more patient-centric capabilities within the whole process.
Yes, I completely agree. I completely agree with all of that. And if that's not clear, then we should edit the language to make it clearer.
Then I think it needs to be at least three paragraphs, and each one focuses on each specific thing, so it's not combined, the second two points.
Totally fair.
And I keep using the word transparency, but this, the third thing, as far as I can see, with the patient-centric, needs to be able to provide that ability for the patient to have that line of sight into, you know, what's happening between administrative and clinical.
Correct. So I'm more than happy if that's the appropriate process to take a pass at editing or defer to somebody else to take a pass for editing. But I agree with the recommendation to have a tripartite recommendation.
I like the.
There's some hands up, Alexis.
Alexis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, before you got a little bit farther into the saying you were going to edit it, I was going to say that the first paragraph just seems more like a repeat of ideal state versus the recommendations, and then towards the end of that paragraph and the second paragraph come the recommendations that could be edited and rewritten. But my overarching question about that is that we already had all those straw man recommendations. So again, and I think I've made this comment before, I'm just confused on all of the rewrites of recommendations that we already went through numerous times as a group that we were trying to pull together and move from one document into this document. So perhaps when Arian goes to edit it, he should look back at some of the language we already used so we don't have to keep rewriting it and rediscussing it.
I think there's a simply an overlapping dynamic. Sometimes the ability to incorporate some of these changes, I think, is just, it's in the queue. It hasn't been completed necessarily. But I like the idea of looking back at the section of guiding principles to avoid duplication of content.
Yep. And relative to these recommendations, what I'm understanding is, number one, we want to take the preamble and make sure that it's not duplicative of our overall ideal state preamble, because it's not that upfront section is not really a recommendation. And number two is we want to change the actual recommendations to a tripartite structure to address, you know, all the components of the recommendations.
Yeah. I think that will satisfy it for me, and then we can come back and review the final draft, but I think that will make it a little more clear what we're exactly recommending.
I hope I just captured the notes appropriately to give you the right trigger mechanism when you look at this, Arian. If not, please let me know if I'm not even sure if I spelled tripartite right. Obviously not. So
we do want me to take a pass at this. So that's the other thing I wanted to make sure we were clear on. Cool.
Yes.
I would love that. Thank you.
Yes.
We're about 2 minutes away, Cheryl, just as a heads up, that we have public comment. But I also saw Alexis put her hand back up.
Yeah, I mean, you might be scrolling to it in a second. But so I think you can check off if it's down farther, the engagement comment, because that's already been changed by somebody. And then my other comment as Arian goes to – no, don't check that one. That's what I was just going to mention.
Okay.
as he goes to do the rewrite, I wanted to make sure that he had this and was able to take into account this, because I don't think we're talking about individual frustration with the healthcare system. Again, we're talking about burdens and delays that, you know, prevent good outcomes, delays in care, rather than saying it's an individual frustration with the health system, which kind of just poo-poos the whole thing.
Yeah, I guess also every patient is a voter.
There's a suggestion in the comment box below that to reword.
This one right from you, Michael, the care delays and suboptimal outcomes with to replace that individual frustration statement?
Yes.
Editor Alexis, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I think that was me. Yep.
Okay. We're at 4:20. Do we want to go to public comment before we move on?
Yeah, I think we should.
Great. Operator, can we please open the line?
Yes. If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. We will pause for a brief moment.
While we're waiting for public comments to come in, Cheryl, I want to let you know that it appears that some of our federal colleagues are also challenged with the Adobe update, and that's contributing to some of our members not being here today. They've gotten a separate text thread indicating that they've been trying, but they're blocked and they were unable to make the call and were seeking to get actively engaged. And I'll loop them in. They're going to pull down the document. And I offered to give them a couple just contextual remarks about our comment boxes.
Okay.
It appears we have no public comments, correct, Katie or Lauren?
Just a quick check with the operator.
No comments at this time.
Thank
you. So while we're leaving this up for a minute, the next thing in the paper, Alex, was just a comment about the placement of the recommendations for patient at the center and creating a standardized member ID card. And it was actually
You want me to scroll down? Because I please guide me as to how what you want to me to be displaying, because I had another comment between that and recommendation 8.
Oh, you did?
And maybe this was already taken care of. There was a comment about the workhorse highlight that it looks like your cursor's near right now. I see, I haven't read all the comments, so I'm not sure if this actually got addressed or not. Maybe Michael can clarify that, because it looks like
it's going to be addressed when Arian rewrites it, because it's part of what we just talked about he's rewriting. So
okay.
That's why I didn't call it out, because that was exactly what I was talking about.
Thank you. I will move on. So now you're here.
Yeah. All right. Can we reshare the document now, since we left up the public comment phone number? People should have been able to get it if they want to call in. There's, the next one I'm just saying is more editorial in nature. It's not really a comment. It was talking about how we
it can be
the questions.
Yeah, it's a month old. 6 weeks old, so I'm going to accept that because it was my comment. Thank you.
Okay. The next one was, again, spelling out acronyms. And, again, that's for the editor. I'd leave that one in because we want to make sure if we get the editor that they do that.
Yes. And also we have that super glossary that we have from the annual report for HITACH that we might be able to leverage as well.
Yeah. Now, this was mine, and I think I'm thinking this one was already taken care of, but this
you're on recommendation 10?
Yes, establish regular reviews of prior authorization.
Can you scroll down?
Rules. And I had made a comment that I think we need to add more detail here related to prior authorization data requirements must be shared electronically, and the capability to deliver the data requirements must be enabled. So if that's inherent to some other recommendation, then I'm fine with it. But we discussed this when we had the recommendation paper, and I thought this one was going to be rewritten for this, but I don't know who was going to do it.
I rewrote some language above the guiding principles of ideal state. It was the same thing in terms of state lines that we reviewed a minute ago. We could copy that down, or do you think that needs to go deeper? Because you accepted that change.
Okay, this is Alex.
The thing missing is the rule set being available electronically. And again, I believe it's implied, but we don't actually say that. So I'm just asking if we need to state that here. As we say, actors to establish consistent processes and guidelines for prior authorization rule sets. And then we go on to say such processes should simplify rules, remove rules that have been a burden, And reviews should take place less frequently than annually.
That point is captured. Yeah, it's captured separately in the standards for EPA, and that it defines that the standards should expose the content in ways that allow all the actors to know what to do.
Okay, then I'm going to just accept this one because that's all I was. I wanted to make sure it was somewhere. Where are we? Okay, I think we need to stop here. We only have one more. People are willing to go forward, I guess.
Okay, let's do it if people have time.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to stop here and pick up at the next meeting to finish the last two paragraphs. Alex, so maybe we should move to next steps.
Sure. I believe I'm on the docket for that. If we could stop sharing and return to the slide deck, that'd be fabulous. So we are, as you can tell, working our way through the messy wordsmithing process of this initial compilation of our work from the since March. We will continue to advance offline our reviews. We hope that everyone in the membership of the task force will be looking online at the comments and the documentation itself. We will then enable us to bring back discussion points as needed at subsequent meetings. But we would hope that next week we really can start to pivot into the broader intersection discussion. Since we were not able to get through all the recommendations today, I suspect that Cheryl and I will elect to start there with the finishing up the recommendations and then launching into the broader intersection. And that would be on our September 8th call. On September 9th, Cheryl and I will be presenting an update to HITACH, and the slide deck looks like it may not have actually gone out to everyone, Cheryl, from an earlier comment in the chat box, but we'll make sure to circle back on that. We did review it last week on the call and received no revisions that I'm aware of, but we will send out the new final deck to everyone just to close the loop on that. And after we go to HITACH next Wednesday, September 9th, we are likely to have feedback from that interaction. And so we would expect that we would be discussing that feedback, reconciling additional comments that may have come in on our report development, and continuing the discussion of the broader intersection opportunities and recommendations that we may want to advance into our final report. Our goal will be to wrap up our work by the end of October. Members may have seen that we've sent out additional meeting invitations to fill the gap between now and the final report submission to HITACH, which we intend to happen at the end of October. I believe that may be the last slide. I would open it up for additional comments from you, Cheryl, or any comments from our attendees.
No, I have no comments. Thanks, everybody, for your work. I know this is not an easy process, and really appreciate you working with us as we, you know, deal with technology and multiple, you know, editors contributing to the same paper. So thank you.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap for today. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for today, and we will meet again next week on the 8th. And reminder of the HITACH meeting on the 9th, the following week. Thanks again, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.